Good morning. Welcome to God's house this morning. Very special welcome to our new members that we will be receiving through adult confirmation today and your families. It's great to have you here. Another special welcome to the families of our grade school children who are singing the psalm for us today. We appreciate your presence in worship and the extra effort that you made to get them to St. Mark's this morning. So thank you very much for sharing your time and your children's voices with us. This morning in worship, God is going to answer for us a question that we have probably more often than we would like, but often enough for us to know that God still loves us and God cares for us. Why do I suffer? And what should I do when I suffer? This morning, Jesus addresses that in the gospel for us, and Pastor Watershed will share his sermon based on those thoughts today. The order of worship that we will follow is printed out for you in the worship folder. And we will begin worship with our opening hymn printed on page 4. Let us worship our God.
Please stand. Worship continues at the bottom of page 4 in your worship booklet for this morning. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do, you should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. By His great mercy, God has made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord Jesus Christ, preserve the congregation of believers with your never-failing mercy. Help us avoid whatever is wicked and harmful, and guide us in the way that leads to our salvation. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. This point in our service, we give our attention to the Word of God. The first lesson is printed on page 8 in the worship folder. It's recorded in Jeremiah chapter 15. God tells us through St. Paul that everything written in the past is written to teach us and to encourage us. Here we see the Lord's prophet suffering because the message God gave him was not a popular message. It is repent and return to the Lord because you're wrong. Here the prophet commits his trials to the Lord and receives an answer. And the same happens to us. When we commit our cares to God, God hears them and answers them. The lesson from Jeremiah chapter 15. You understand, O Lord. Remember me and care for me.
Avenge me on my persecutors. You are long-suffering. Do not take me away. Think of how I suffer reproach for your sake. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. I never sat in the company of revelers, never made merry with them. I sat alone because your hand was on me, and you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unending, and my wound grievous and incurable? Will you be to me like a deceptive brook, like a spring that fails? Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore you that you may serve me. If you utter worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. I will make you a wall to this people, a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you to rescue and save you, declares the Lord. I will save you from the hands of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the cruel. This is the word of the Lord. The psalm for this morning is Psalm 121, and the children will sing the entire psalm this morning. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. The gospel for this day is recorded in the gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 16. This reading is the basis for the sermon this morning. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" This is the gospel of the Lord. The hymn of the day is hymn 465. You'll find it in the red hymnals in front of you. Please be seated. Thank you.
our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose cross is the heart of our Christian faith. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel for this day, written in the 16th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. You can follow it on page 10 of your service folder. I'll read again just verse 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it." Fellow disciples of the Lord, Jesus said that if you want to be his disciple, you must take up your cross and follow him. And as his disciples, we've agreed to that, haven't we? We just sang, "Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow you." The cross is the heart of the Christian faith. I'd like to think about that for a moment, just the cross by itself. In 1982, that cross was put up in a new building. I wasn't here, and not many of us were. I can imagine, though, that it was quite a day for each person who walked into the church and saw that cross. Pretty spectacular and appropriate. I'm sure that thoughts were expressed at that time that this church, St. Mark's Lutheran Church, is about the cross of Jesus Christ. It should be prominently displayed, and it certainly was. And the cross has been a part of our lives in many different ways. I brought some crosses with me. Here's one we have at home. Pretty hefty. Crosses are heavy, but kind of decorative, gold, nicely done. You probably have something like that at home. Here's a cross that's full of symbolism. This is called a Jerusalem cross because it's a central cross and it has other ones going out. "You will be my disciples and be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And that's the idea of this cross. And there are many ways that the cross can be found to be symbolic. Here's yet another cross. This is one I picked up in somewhere in Israel. I don't even remember where. It's in the style of Russian or Greek icons. And it has a picture that's hard to see, a picture of a crucified Christ in the center of it. Whoa, that's getting more serious and closer to our text. Recently, Pastor Schmidt has displayed this cross in his office. It's special, certainly for him, for a couple of reasons. One is that his daughter, Heidi, made it. It's tied together with a shoestring here. That's one reason. But the other reason is that it appropriately expresses something of the true nature of the cross. The gold is fine. It's wonderful to hold that up. That one's very dignified. But the first cross wasn't all that special. It was, in fact, pretty ugly. The whole thing of crucifixion was ugly indeed. From that time on, our text tells us, Matthew tells us, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. That's the way it is in the Christian faith. There's no changing that. But we've got a problem. We'll get to that. But there's no changing it. Listen to what Jesus says. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things. And then a little bit later on, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. There was no choice. This is the way it had to be. Jesus understood that, and he never wavered. And he was telling his disciples, look, this is what has to happen. The cross is going to be central. It wasn't central to anything, though, for his disciples at that point. The cross was an ugly thing, an instrument of torture and execution. And so that was a tough thing for the disciples. Peter was there. You always need someone to stand in our place and be there. Well, it's Peter, okay? Peter took him aside. Get a load of this. Peter takes Jesus aside. He needs to explain some things to him. And began to rebuke him. Tough words here. Rebuke the Savior. Never, Lord, he said. This shall never happen to you. Why in the world would he say anything like that? Peter had an idea of what the Messiah was. Last week, we heard Peter boldly declare, you are the Messiah, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter and the other disciples knew very clearly who Jesus was, but they had a whole lot more difficulty with what Jesus was going to do. And so now Jesus is explaining it to us. And I said before that Peter stands in for us. Like Peter, we have to come to realize that the Messiah, the Christ, though Christ is Greek, Messiah is Hebrew, same word, that the Messiah we want is not the Messiah that we need. Peter didn't see that, and I think once again Peter was expressing what the disciples felt. He didn't like the idea of Jesus dying on the cross. It was just too much for him. It was not his idea of what the Messiah was going to be. The Messiah was going to establish a glorious kingdom here on earth. The days of David and Solomon would return. Wonderful things were going to happen. Not dying on a cross. And I say that Peter stands in for us. Oh, we don't have the same problem that Peter had. I mean, at least outwardly, we do in fundamental ways. But outwardly, we're not looking for the Lord to establish an earthly kingdom. That's an idea that the Jews had. It was natural. I certainly can understand why they felt that way, because their kingdom before that had been an earthly kingdom. And Jesus was here as the fulfillment of all that Jewish kings, Hebrew kings, would be. So I can understand that. But I'm telling you here, we're not any different. What is your concept of Jesus? We probably wouldn't be quite so bold as to rebuke Jesus. We don't rebuke Jesus. We have seen too much. Peter at this point hadn't seen the resurrection. There hadn't been a Pentecost. So we're not going to rebuke Jesus. What we do is change what he said or ignore it. So I don't want to take up my cross. That's the problem. So when Peter says, "Lord, the cross, what, dying? What is that?" And I say, I love being a Christian. Whenever I am in difficulty, whenever I am in trouble, I can count on the Lord. I ask him to be there for me, and he is there. And I am confident that he will take care of anything. That's all very fine. But if that thought and that concern is a little part of your life over here, and the whole rest of your life, the whole rest of your week, for example, is taking care of business for yourself, then you're doing exactly what Peter did, and we are doing it, aren't we? We sang, "Jesus, I my cross have taken, all to leave and follow you." But then comes the hard part: destitute, despised, forsaken. That certainly refers to Jesus, right? No. You on earth once suffered too. That's us. Destitute, despised, forsaken. That's not my idea. Lord, this shall never be. Perish, the poet goes on. Perish every fond ambition. Just imagine all the fond ambitions that we could list on a sheet of paper this morning. Do we really believe that we should perish them all? Peter didn't. This shall never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." I don't know that Jesus ever said anything that strong to his disciples. Would Jesus say that to me? Well, if I don't want to perish all those fond ambitions, if I don't want to give up, I want the Lord to take care of me, but I want him to take care of the life that I have, the life that I'm building block by block. All those wonderful, fond ambitions that I'm working on. Some of them are big things, but not all of them. Some of them are pretty ordinary things. But this is my life. And God's a part of that. Right over here. Maybe over here. And Jesus comes and says, crosses are falling here. Jesus comes and says, no, perish every fond ambition. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Was it too strong for Jesus to say, get behind me, Satan, to Peter? You are a stumbling block. Well, if he was a stumbling block to Jesus, imagine what kind of a stumbling block Peter was to himself. And what stumbling blocks we can put up, because we've got these little walls here. You know, this is my fond ambition here, and it needs to be protected. And God is saying, you're my disciple. Jesus is saying, you're my disciple. Perish every fond ambition. Put them all on the cross. Be done with them. He isn't saying that living your life is worthless, that doing a good job in all the things you do aren't worth anything. He isn't saying that at all. What he's saying is that the kingdom of God is first. We have to put to death our sinful nature. These are hard, hard words. Don't underestimate them. But Jesus didn't simply say, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. He said, whoever loses his life for me will find it. Do you want to have a really wonderful, meaningful life? Then give this whole thing to the Lord. Yep, some of the things your sinful nature is not going to want to give up. You know, it would be wonderful if we could fix our selfish nature, our sinful self. But that's the reason for death. There's no fixing it. All you can do is crucify it. No, you don't get what you want. I know. See, the problem is that this sinful nature isn't somebody else who's talking to us. It's me. It's me. It's you. And so today, Jesus is saying to us, his cross needs to be the most important thing in your life. He wants to invite you. He doesn't just want to criticize you. Yes, I haven't perished all of my fond ambitions. I'm just working on it all the time. But Jesus wants to invite us. He wants us to see what happened. I don't think the disciples got what this was all about that day. They never got it until Jesus died on the cross and rose again and ascended into heaven and said that he was coming again. Then they got it. This is the wonderful life, not those fond little ambitions that will die with you. You know, people spend their whole lives working on things, boy, hours and hours, months, all kinds of talents and abilities thrown into things, and then they die, and who cares? Well, we've been going through things at home that we've stored up in boxes. Actually, we haven't. My wife has. And so she brings out some of these things, and we look at them, you know. Oh, my, that brings back a memory. And then she offers them, some of them, to the children. Lo and behold, the children aren't interested. Not in everything, but many things they're not. These fond ambitions don't have, there's nothing there. It's empty in the end, unless it's filled with the Lord Jesus Christ. If all the memories that you give to your children, if all the memories your parents gave to you are all wrapped up in Jesus Christ, they are precious. They mean a great deal. But fond ambitions by themselves are nothing at all. And so the poet said it very well in the hymn we sang. In your service, pain is pleasure. With your favor, loss is gain. Never forget that. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and in his cross. Amen. We join together to boldly confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. You can find those on page 11 of your service folder. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. With joy, we bring our offerings to the Lord.
Thank you.
This time we have the joy and privilege of welcoming new members to St. Mark's through adult confirmation. So I would invite those individuals to come forward. Lindy Brazier, Don and Marilyn Hansen, Elaine Call, Lauren Powell, Philip Van Avery, and Jennifer Yates, brothers and sisters in Christ. Our Lord Jesus said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." In obedience to the Lord's command, you have been baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have been taught the precious truths of the Christian faith as confessed by the Evangelical Lutheran Church. You know what God has given you by his grace and what he expects of you as his dear child. You now have the privilege of receiving the Lord's body and blood in the sacrament of Holy Communion shared here at St. Mark's. You are here to make a public confession of that faith God has shared with you. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Romans, said, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Therefore, lift up your hearts to the God of all grace and joyfully and confidently answer these questions. Do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge that in baptism God gave you forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation? If so, answer, "I do." Do you reject the devil along with all his lies and empty promises? If so, answer, "I do." Do you believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? If so, answer, "I do." Do you believe all the books of the Bible to be the inspired Word of God? If so, answer, "I do." Do you believe that the teaching of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, as you have learned to know it from your study of Scripture at our Bible information class, is faithful and true to the Word of God? If so, answer, "I do." Do you intend to continue steadfast in this teaching and to endure all things, even death, rather than fall away from it? If so, answer, "I do," and I ask God to help me. Do you intend to faithfully conform all your life to the teachings of God's Word, to be faithful in the use of God's Word and sacrament, and in faith and action remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as long as you live? If so, answer, "I do," and I ask God to help me. Since it is God alone who enables us both to will and to do his good pleasure, it is right for us, dear friends in Christ, to call on him for these confirmants, that he would graciously complete the good work which he began in them. Let us therefore bow our heads and pray. Gracious Father, you have adopted these brothers and sisters in baptism and anointed them with your Holy Spirit. Renew and strengthen them daily so that by that same Spirit they may continue to grow in faith and boldly confess you before others. To that end, we ask you to hear our prayer. Amen. Your church now invites you to receive the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. Accept this invitation with deep reverence and holy joy. Regard your communing at the Lord's table as a precious privilege given you by God through his church. Receive this sacrament thankfully and often. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you and keep you as gifts to St. Mark's. Amen. May go in the peace of the Lord.
Our service continues with the prayer of the church. Please stand. Dear Heavenly Father, by the great and living way of your Son, Jesus Christ, we enter your gates with thanksgiving and your courts with praise. You have filled the earth with riches that manifest the great wonders of your grace. Blessings that we may harvest, bless us that we may harvest the fruits of all our toils, find joy in the birth of each new day, and rest in the peace of each night. Most especially, we praise you for sending your one and only Son into this world, that by his innocent sufferings and death, we might receive the forgiveness of sins, strength to overcome all evil, the gift of eternal life, and to patiently bear the cross, trusting in the promises you have shared with us and you have convinced us are sure and certain. In your name we pray, amen. This morning, we also pray for the family of Jerry Lederman. Jerry is Noel Lederman's father. He was called home to glory this past week. We also continue to pray for Rhoda Carpenter and Karen Gent as they continue to recover from medical treatment. And we also pray for Mark Sampaio, Len and Shirley's son. We prayed for him last week, and God was good and brought him safely through his treatments. And we ask that God continue to be with him as he recovers and continues to fight battles ahead. Let us pray for these, our brothers and sisters. Dear Heavenly Father, please be with Noel Lederman and his family as they mourn the loss of Noel's father. While as a family of believers we share in their suffering, we also share in their joy that comes from knowing Noel's father is at rest with you. Be their peace and their comfort in this time of loss. Continue to be with Rhoda Carpenter and Karen Gent as they endure ongoing medical treatments. If physical and emotional stress begin to build, may they receive spiritual strength and care from you and your word as you have promised. Please continue to strengthen their families that they may rally together around their loved ones and you for support in these difficult times. Also this morning, we join in thanking you for taking good care of Len and Shirley Sampaio's son, Mark. At this time, we ask that you continue to be with him and those treating him during his time of recovery. You are good and gracious in the way you answer prayer. We thank you that it was your will to bring Mark home from the hospital and ask that it also be your will that he continue to recover. These and all the hidden yearnings of our souls and any other thing we should have sought out for your mercy, grant to us in our Lord Jesus, who ever lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Please be seated for the closing hymn.